behind. You can use this to control. It's going forward and backward.
Good morning. Good to see each of you here this morning. My son, about a week ago, decided that he was going to move from Kansas City to Lee's Summit. So he picked this weekend to move. And so we've been busy helping him move. And I'm sorry my wife is kind of tired from that, so she's not able to be with me this morning. But I'm glad to see you. And I look forward to our time together. Let's look to the Lord in prayer, please. Father, I pray now that you would open our hearts. I pray that your Spirit would fill our hearts, and I pray that you would anoint me to give the message that you would have this morning. And Lord, we give you all the praise and thanks. Lord, we love you. We pray that your blessing be upon this time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Do we have the... Okay, great. I want us to look at this verse, these two verses again, if you would, please, with me. Jeremiah 17, 7 to 8. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Now, today I have for you, I want to speak to you about passion and purpose. And I have two questions to ask you. The first question I want to ask you is this. What is your passion? Now, by passion, I mean, what is it you're crazy about? What do you like? Maybe it's a sports. You know, just a week ago was the World Cup. I'm sure some of you were very excited to watch the World Cup. And that was an exciting game. Maybe it's a hobby you have or something else. What is your passion? Whatever that might be that excites you, that you like to do, what is your passion? And then the next question I want to ask you, well, I want you to take a look at this. The Women's Cup. And then crazy. I don't know if you've ever heard of this. Crazy English. In China, there's a man by the name of who invented this crazy English. Li Yang, I think was his name. Li Yang. And to get people excited about learning English and to get them over the shyness of speaking English, they would shout English words together. And so this became known as crazy English. Have any of you heard of crazy English before? No? A few of you have. All right. But what is it you're crazy about? Whatever it might be, soccer, or English, or whatever it might be, what is it you are crazy about? And then the next question I want to ask you is this. All right, what is your purpose? Now think of this question. Why am I alive? You know, if you were to go to a hospital, or some businesses, organizations, schools, they have a mission statement, a purpose statement. Why are we here? All right? I don't know if you ever thought about this before. Does my life matter? Now, there are several books here that have been written about this. This book here, What Should I Do With My Life? Now, the gentleman who wrote this, Bo Bronson, really was clueless. Conclusion of his life, we really don't know. Another book by Hugh Moorhead. He edited what others have written and what others were guessing. What is the purpose of life? And maybe there's a book you've heard of by Rick Warren. What on earth am I here for? or the purpose-driven life. So this is very important. What does the Bible say is the purpose for my living? Very important for us to look at this question, to understand our purpose for being here on this earth. Now, first of all, we see as we think about this, the purpose, God is a source of purpose. Ephesians 1:11. In Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. God has a purpose for each of us here. Now I want to know, what is God's purpose for my life? Why am I here on this earth? That's one of the most important questions you could ever answer. As we look at this, we need to think about that Jesus Christ is the center of God's plan and purpose for our lives. The very center of that is Jesus Christ. Now, as we think about purpose, oh, I have to point this direction? Okay. Sorry about that. We see, first of all, in the verses we looked at today, that there's a picture of purpose. Jeremiah, in chapter 18, verse 6, he talks about the potter and the clay. He's referring to the nation of Israel, how that he took that clay, you know, made something from it. You know, whether you go to have you ever been to a potter's shop, a clay shop, and you buy a cup, there's a purpose for that. You buy a vase, you get a vase, there's a purpose for that. And so he was talking about the nation of Israel. And then in this chapter 17, he compares purpose to a tree. A tree that has roots, that goes down deep. A tree that has green leaves, even in the hottest of weather. I suppose you've heard the forecast, it's supposed to be a pretty hot week. But it has green leaves, even the hottest of weather. And then it bears fruit even in the drought. Now, spiritually speaking, we may look around at our nation and we may look around at we are in a spiritual drought. And in the middle of a spiritual drought, person with purpose bears fruit and shines. And so here we look at what our purposes are from this verse, a picture of purpose. First of all, like a tree planted by the water. Now, we have been planted as believers in Jesus Christ. When we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior and we receive Him into our heart and our life, we are planted in Christ. All right? And that is what gives us life. That we are planted in Christ. And then what happens is that sends out its roots by the stream. We are sustained by the Holy Spirit. That life that the Spirit dwells within us, we are sustained by God's Spirit. And then that tree has leaves that are always green. That we are strong in God's grace. Our leaves are always green. Now, we have about 3 apple trees in our backyard. And I didn't know this when I planted those 3 apple trees. I didn't know how much you have to take care of those apple trees. Every year, I don't know what it is. I found out later you're supposed to spray those trees. Every year we get spots on those leaves. They're not very green leaves. They always get spots on them. And sometimes we get apples and sometimes we don't get apples. But it says here that it never fails to bear fruit. And the fruit, of course, is God's fruit, God's Spirit bearing His fruit in our lives. Now, that fruit, and this is all a picture that God has a purpose for that tree. God has a purpose for your life. Now, we can understand that by looking at the person of purpose. And we see that Jesus Christ came to this earth, that He was born for a purpose. And the Bible tells us clearly that there are seven purposes. And I'd like you to turn with me in your Bibles to see what the purpose, why did Jesus Christ come to this earth? Turn first of all to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17. Matthew 5, verse 17. You see, the first purpose Jesus Christ came was to fulfill the law. Matthew 5, 17. Follow along as I read these words, please. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Now that really gives us the theme of the book of Matthew. Matthew tells us that the Messiah, Jesus Christ, came not to abolish the law and the prophets, that's the Old Testament, but He came to fulfill them. He was the Messiah that was prophesied. And we see throughout the life of Christ how He fulfilled all those prophecies. Many, many prophecies. He fulfilled all those. Now, there's no way that could happen by coincidence. Where He was born, in Bethlehem, was prophesied. He was born of course, the line of David. That was all prophesied. His death was prophesied. His life was prophesied. All those things He came to fulfill. And that we see in the book of Matthew. That's really the theme of the book of Matthew. And then we see another purpose that Jesus came. Turning your Bibles to Mark chapter 10 and verse 49. He came to serve and give His life a ransom. And really, that's the theme of the book of Mark. Follow along as I read this verse here. Mark, 10:45. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. When we come to the book of Mark, this is a book of action, where He is the Son of Man. It shows us His acts, what He did. He came to serve, and He offered His life as a sacrifice, a ransom. He was a servant. That's what the book of Mark is all about. Matthew, He was the Messiah, the King of Israel. That was prophesied. Mark, He's a servant, the servant of God. And He came to serve. And then we see the third thing here. If you turn to the book of Luke, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Now, here we see Him as the Savior, the book of Luke. And He came, and we see all the parables in Luke, all the teachings in Luke. He came for all mankind to save us from our sins. And so the book of Luke tells us about His purpose. And then John gives us several things about why did Jesus Christ come. First of all, we see in John chapter 9 and verse 39, He came to judge and to condemn. For judgment I have come into this world. Yes, Jesus Christ came to save us from our sin. But to those who reject Him, to those who do not turn to Jesus Christ, there's judgment. They have to, the judgment of our sin. The wages of sin is death. And the judgment of sin, He is our judge. He is our Savior. He is also our judge. If we reject Him, He is our judge. But then John also tells us that He came to give abundant life. I have come that they may have life and have it to the fullest, or the abundant life, full life. You know, those of us who put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, He not only gives us new life, but abundant life, overflowing with the joy of the Holy Spirit, overflowing with the fruit of the Spirit, abundant life. And then John also tells us that Jesus Christ came to bear witness to the truth. Jesus said, in fact, the reason I was born and came into this world is to testify to the truth. Now, He told this to Herod, King Herod. And King Herod, like many people today, turned to Jesus and said, what is truth? He was skeptical. What is truth? Now, Herod never waited for Jesus to give him the answer. He was mocking. What is truth? And then he walked away and allowed them to crucify Jesus Christ. Jesus Himself has said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The truth of God's Word came to us in flesh in Jesus Christ. He is the truth. You know, many people today are searching for truth. The truth is found in Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goeth unto the Father but by Me. So He came to testify of the truth. But then it tells us, John also tells us, that He came to overthrow Satan. In 1 John 3:8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. You go back to the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 3, where the devil came in the form of a serpent and tempted Eve and also Adam to rebel against God, to eat of the fruit. And there is in Genesis chapter 3, after God came, He pronounced judgment upon the serpent. You remember that? You know, the serpent, look at Genesis 3:15. Turn your Bibles with me, please. Genesis 3:15. After God had spoken to Adam and Eve, He gave this prophecy. Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He, the offspring of the woman, He, speaking of Jesus Christ, He will crush your head and you will strike His heel. And when Jesus Christ hung upon the cross, you remember the nails were put on His hands and through His feet, through His heel. As He was crucified, the serpent struck His heel. But as He was crucified and rose again from the dead, He crushed the serpent's head. I was mowing the yard, I think it was Thursday, and occasionally this little snake went across the yard. And I don't know, how many of you ever killed a snake? Have any of you ever killed a snake? You can't kill a snake by crushing its tail. You got to kill a snake by crushing its head. Now, if you've ever killed a snake, you crush his head, what's going to happen? His tail will still move around, but he's dead. And Jesus Christ, through His death and resurrection, crushed the head of the serpent. Now, he's still wiggling, but He overcame Satan. He overcame the works of the devil with His death and resurrection. Now, Jesus Christ fulfilled His purpose. There were seven words that Christ said upon the cross, but the last word He said, well, the next to last, I should say, it is finished. I have finished the purpose that God gave me to come here to this earth. It is finished. He also gave us a purpose. In His prayer in John 17, verse 18, Jesus said this, "As you sent me into the world," speaking to the Father, "I have sent them into the world." Christ fulfilled His purpose and He prayed for us as He would send us into the world that we would fulfill the purpose that God has for us. Jesus also said, John 20, verse 21, "As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." He spoke this to His disciples. As the Father sent me with a purpose to this earth, and none of us would deny that Jesus had a purpose, but He wants us also to realize He sent us to this earth with also a purpose. We're here in this world for a purpose. And so I want us to take a look at what is our purpose. And the passions of purpose. Now, Jesus Christ gave the great commandment and the great commission. And in these two, we find our purposes. The first purpose we see here, is to have a passion for God. Look at the Matthew. Mark 12:30. A passion for God. Here's the commandment. The greatest commandment, Jesus said, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. Now, example of that is our worship. Think about this. Worship is my response to God's love. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. God loves you. And my response to God's love, I love Him. We love Him because He first loved us. And expression of that love is my worship. Worship is expressing my affections. Love with your heart and your soul. Worship is focusing my attention. Love with your mind. And worship is using my abilities, my strength for God. Worship is an expression of my love to God. You know, I can't sing, but I love to sing praises to God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, it says. Now, I'm sorry I can't carry a tune, but I can make a joyful noise. And you know, as Christians, our worship is making a joyful noise to the Lord, praising God from love within our heart for Him. And so, our first is a passion for God, love and worship for God. That is our first purpose. And then the second commandment, Jesus said, is that we're to have a passion for others. Love and help others. Matthew chapter 22, verses 39 to 40. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Of course, that starts in our families. We ought to love our family members. Now, that sometimes that can be a challenge because those are the people we live with. You know? But we're to love our family. We're to love our neighbors. The neighbor who lives next to you or across the street from you, we're to love our neighbors. We're to love those that we work with, whether it be or someone we go to school with, the people we come in contact with. The Bible tells us that we're to love others. And loving them also means to help others. Now, I don't know if you saw the news this week. There was a lady, as a good example of here, how help is a response of our love for others. On July 9th, I think that was on Thursday or Friday, a Kansas City policeman arrested a mother of six for shoplifting diapers and shoes. How many of you saw that? Anybody see that or hear about that? That she has six girls. She was homeless. She went to Walmart, took some diapers and shoes for her girls who didn't have shoes. And on her way out, she was caught. Now, I don't know this policeman. He shows to us example of love. He wrote up a summons for her, and then out of his own wallet, out of his own money, he bought the shoes and diapers for her and gave it to her. Now there is an example of love. It's not enough to say I care about you or I love you, but to help someone in need. First John also speaks of that. How can we say we love someone if we don't help them in their time of need? And then the third purpose we see that Jesus gives us in the Great Commission. That we're to have a passion for missions. Jesus said that we're to make disciples and to teach the Word. Look in Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Now, we see example of this in the life of Paul and Timothy. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, look at these words here. 2 Timothy 2:2. Paul said, "And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." You got that verse in front of you. I want you to circle four different words here. First of all, circle the word me. Who does me refer to in this verse? Look again at the verse here. Who does me refer to? We see that me refers to Paul. The things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses. There's Paul. You, who does you refer to? Timothy. See, Paul was Timothy's spiritual father. Paul had given the gospel to a young man by the name of Timothy, and Timothy had received Jesus Christ as his Savior, and Paul was not going to stop with giving him the gospel. You know, we are to give the gospel to others. And giving the gospel, we can do that many different ways. We can use our testimony. We see how Paul, at least the book of Acts, three times he gives his testimony. You can start by giving your testimony. How did you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's one way you can give the gospel. There are many other ways you can give the gospel. I think of what I call the gospel bridge. You find out where that person is, and you build a gospel bridge to help them understand why did Jesus Christ come. For example, Don Richardson was a missionary in Africa. And for many years he learned the language and he tried to give the gospels to the people of the tribe there. A true story. You ought to read the book called Peace Child. And these two tribes warred against each other. And finally, the chiefs of the two tribes How can we ever make peace between our two tribes? And finally, the one chief said, I will offer my baby son here as the peace child to bring peace between the two tribes. And for many years, Don Richardson had thought, how can I give the gospel to these people? And here it was. When he heard this story, he told it to them and told them that God made peace with us through His peace child, Jesus Christ. I always love the Chinese characters. My favorite way to give the gospel is to draw the Chinese characters, because I think that God has left a witness in the Chinese culture through the Chinese characters. Last time I spoke to you about the character for righteousness, Lamb over me is what makes me righteous. What a beautiful picture of the gospel, a gospel bridge. And so we meet people where they're at. We give them our testimony. We tell them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why did Jesus Christ come to this earth? But we don't stop there. When a person receives Jesus Christ as their Savior, the Bible tells us they're like a newborn babe. And we need to feed them the milk of God's Word. We need to disciple them and help them to grow. And so Timothy was Paul's spiritual son. Me, Paul, you, Timothy. Reliable people who can teach others. Four generations are found in this verse. Now, think about this. Who is your Paul? Who is the person who is mentoring you, who is encouraging you? I'm thankful that in my life there have been many, many different Pauls. I got saved at the age of 9. I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I remember one Sunday school teacher. It's because I heard the gospel from her, I went to my mother and asked her, how can I be saved? She was in the kitchen fixing dinner. So she took me in the living room, opened the Bible, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I remembered my Paul, my pastor. I remember my youth leader. They began to mentor me, help me grow in the faith. When I went off to college, there was a man by the name of Lee Laurie. And I went during the weekends. I would go to Augusta, Georgia. He worked with servicemen, but he also mentored us. He discipled us and showed us how to teach others. And then I remember when I went to Taiwan as a missionary, I thank God for Norman Lehman. He was my spiritual father there. He was my mentor there. He had been there for 30 years. You know, I'm in Kansas City and ministering here. I have an older brother, Tim Seabolt. He's my prayer partner. He's my mentor. And we pray together at least once a week. Where is your Paul? Who is your Paul? Who is your mentor? Who is the one who's encouraging you to grow? And you feel weak, you can go to that person and you can tell them and pray, have that person pray with you. Who is your Paul? Who is your Timothy? Who is the person that you can help to grow? Who can come alongside that person and show them the way? You know, God gives us Pauls and Timothys. And I believe that there ought to be in each of our lives a Paul and a Timothy. Someone who is encouraging us to grow and helping us as our mentor, and someone who we are mentoring and encouraging them to grow. You see, that's one of our purposes that God has given us, to disciple others and teach them the Word of God. And then we're to have a passion for service. Paul says in Ephesians 2:10, For we are God's handiwork. I don't know if any of you have done any handiwork. Maybe that's your hobby. You make certain things, whether it be a, you know, embroidery or whether it be building something like a birdhouse or whatever, your handiwork. Well, we are God's handiwork. God is at work in our lives. He's not finished with us, but He's at work. And it says here, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Now, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And the Bible is very clear. Ephesians chapter 2, right before that, verse 8. For we are saved by grace, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. There's nothing we can do to earn salvation. But once we become God's handiwork, God has put His life into us, then from that life follows good works. James speaks of the same thing in James chapter 2. Faith without works is what? Dead. If we have a living faith, out of that living faith is going to flow good works. Now, it has nothing to do with our salvation. It has nothing to do with our life, but it's a natural thing. It should flow from our life. Now, each of you should use whatever gift you've received, it tells us in 1 Peter 4, to serve others. God has gifted us to serve others. Whatever that might be, in service to Him. 1 Peter also says, as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. So we are made by God to serve. Made by God to serve. You know, I don't know if you ever, you get a card, a birthday card or anniversary card or special card. You maybe look at the back and see who's this made by. And of course, very famous here in Kansas City is Hallmark. So one of the most famous card makers is Hallmark. You go, oh, this is a Hallmark card. Made by Excellence, Hallmark. All right? Maybe you get a gift or something, or a plate or something, you turn it over. Where's this made? Made in Taiwan. Made in China. But you know, when people take a look at our lives, they ought to see made by God. Made by God. And God put us here for a purpose. In September, there's a movie that's coming out, September 8th, called Captive. Now, this is a true story. I don't know if any of you heard this story. Let me tell you a little bit about it without spoiling the movie, so you can go see the movie. It's a story of faith, of redemption, and of survival. It's a fact-based thriller. A single mother struggling with drug addiction is randomly taken hostage in her own apartment by a man on the run from the law for breaking out of jail and murdering the judge assigned to his case. Only realize before the climactic finish that they have actually saved each other's lives. Now, it's very interesting. This story is a true story. A few years ago, this happened. This man takes this woman captive. Well, she had been given by a friend a book called The Purpose-Driven Life. Now, she had set the book aside thinking, I need to read that. I just don't have time right now. When she was taken captive in her own apartment, she sat there at the table while the man was trying to figure out what he's going to do next, and she began to read the book. It was on her table. And the man turned to her and asked, what are you reading? And she said, this book is given to me. And so he said, would you read it out loud for me? The Purpose-Driven Life. What on earth are we here for? She began to read it out loud. And it changed her life. And it changed that man's life. And I don't want to tell you the rest of the story. You can see the movie. Captive. we need to think about what is God's purpose for our lives. What is God's purpose for my life? And then we need to make God's purpose for your life and for my life my passion for living. Now, I grew up, and I'm a sports fan. I love sports. But you know, I can't watch a soccer game. I can't watch a basketball game or a football game or whatever, a baseball game, without getting excited. I start to yell. I start to cheer. I don't know. Do you do that? Yeah? Then I have some hobbies. You know, my dad, his hobby is hunting. So he's taught me from the age of 6, he took me hunting with him. Now, I didn't get the passion for hunting that he did. My father's 81 years old, and he still hunts all the time. But what is it that you're excited about? And that's great. That's great you're excited about soccer. That's great you're excited about basketball. That's great you're excited about hunting or whatever, computers or whatever. I'm not English crazy, but I'm Chinese crazy. I like to study about Chinese. Whatever you're excited about, that's great. But as Christians, I want us to take a look at God has a purpose for your life. And when you think about that, let it sink down into you. I'm here for a purpose. After I got saved, God didn't just take me up into heaven. He left me here for a purpose. Just like He sent Jesus Christ down to this earth for a purpose. And I ought to make that purpose also my passion. I ought to be excited about it. So when I start singing praises to God, I'm going to be excited about it. Make a joyful noise. I'm going to be excited to help others who need help, to show love to God and love to others. I'm going to be excited to give the gospel to others because I know that this is life. I'm going to be excited to help others, to disciple others. I'm going to be excited to serve others. You see, God has left me here for a purpose. And I want that purpose also to be my passion. Let's bow in prayer. Every eye closed, every head bowed. I don't know what your passion is, and whatever it is, I'm glad that you have that passion. That you're excited about that, you're crazy about that, that you would like to do that. But I want you to consider today, God has a purpose for your life. As you think about God's purpose for your life, that you love and worship God, that you love and help others, that your mission is to give the gospel, every opportunity that you have, that you pray about it, God gives you the opportunity. And also to disciple others and to serve Him. And may this also become your passion. Lord, we thank You today that just like Jesus Christ came to this earth for a purpose, that You have left us here on this earth, in this world, for a purpose. Help us to understand what that purpose is. And then, oh God, I pray that we also make that purpose our passion. That's something that we would do with all our heart and all our mind, all our soul and all our strength. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.